Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today we are pleased to be talking with State Auditor and candidate for Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch. Currently serving as Indiana's 56th Auditor of State, Suzanne Crouch has extensive experience in local and state government, having previously served as a state representative for Vandenberg and Warwick counties, a Vandenberg County Commissioner, and as Vandenberg County Auditor. As Auditor of State, she is the Chief Financial Officer for the state of Indiana. During her time as a state representative, Suzanne served as Vice Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Suzanne was born in Evansville, Indiana. She graduated from Purdue University, and 4 years after college, met her husband, Larry Downs. Together, they have a grown daughter, Courtney. State Auditor Crouch is running for the office of Lieutenant Governor with Indiana's current Lieutenant Governor, Eric Holcomb. I welcome Suzanne Crouch.
Well,
hi, Suzanne. Nice to see you.
Oh, good to meet you. And I tell you, it's wonderful being here.
Thank you. Well, let's start out with the decision to run for state representative and the auditor and now Lieutenant Governor. Why?
Well, you know, it's an interesting story because I'm here today as the 56th auditor of the state of Indiana, but I didn't grow up in a political household. My parents always voted, but I don't recall political discussions growing up. But they raised me with good values, and they instilled in me a set of principles that I think ultimately led me to public service. They raised me to believe that it takes hard work to get ahead, and they raised me to believe in equality and opportunity. And also they raised me with a strong sense of personal responsibility, but to readily accept that I had a responsibility to help others who were less fortunate.
Sure.
And so when I got out of college, I ended up being a realtor, and I was a stockbroker and a small business owner. But it wasn't until I got involved in politics and government that I discovered my true passion, and that I found an avenue by which I felt that I could help people and help those who were less fortunate. So I wanted to be involved in local politics, so I ran for auditor of state, had some classes and background in accounting, and thought that being able to work with the tax dollar was something that was extremely important. And then I ended up running for county commissioner, which is the chief executive of the county, and served there 2.5 years before an opportunity presented itself in the state representative level. And Each time I made a decision, I saw it as an opportunity to serve in a different capacity. And certainly as a state representative, I was able to weigh in on issues that affected families. Who's your families? And so after that, Governor Pence approached me about serving as auditor of state after 8 years as a state representative. And I again saw it as an opportunity to increase the level of service that we're able to provide to agencies and to local units of government. And so I was appointed and ran in 2014. And Eric Holcomb said that based upon, you know, my local and state experience, fiscal, executive, and legislative at the local and state level, that he wanted me to be his running partner. And so I am excited about running with Eric Holcomb and look forward to weighing in as the second highest ranking official who's a partner with the governor on issues that are near and dear to my heart, including opportunities for people with disabilities.
And let's talk about that for a second, because people with disabilities want to be active members of the community. They want to have an opportunity to be provided with education, have a job, a full life. So how are you going to support direct support professionals and everybody around them?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was county auditor and working with budgets for the county local government, that was my first kind of introduction to organization ARC of Evansville, which serves people with disabilities, and they received funding in the county budget. And that was my kind of first exposure. When I became a county commissioner, I was appointed to serve on the ARC of Evansville board of directors. And it was that experience and that introduction to the great work that they do for people who are seeking the same opportunities and the same advantages as everyone else, that was when I started to become interested and passionate. And then as a state representative, of course, in my 8 years as state representative, I've received numerous awards from ARC of Indiana. I received their Public Policy and Executive Director Award.
I remember.
And then for the Indiana Association of Rehabilitative Facilities, I received their Legislator of the Year and their Lifetime Achievement Award. And those awards, they were given to me because of the work that I had done on behalf of people with disabilities. And I was always accessible and open and understanding their issues, or trying to be accessible and open and understanding their issues and their impact, including visiting families of people that had disabilities in my district. I visited homes that serve people with disability and worked with stakeholders and providers regarding issues
Sure.
that people with disabilities were interested in. And it wasn't until I was able to actually have some kind of direct impact through legislation and through policy and through serving on the Joint Commission on Medicaid Oversight and serving on the Developmental Disabilities Commission and serving as Vice Chair of the House Ways and Means, and also being able to weigh in on those issues and to help prevent cuts Mm-hmm. in the funding and cuts in the rates. And we ended up stopping the initial $5,000 reduction that was planned in 2009 to Medicaid providers. Also worked with our local and state stakeholders to reform the welfare eligibility system to make it more user-friendly and to make it able to be utilized and to serve the people that are most vulnerable in our state.
Sure.
I also authored legislation that required FSSA to study and report on audit requirements in order to reduce duplication and utilize national accreditation to create deemed status when appropriate. Those were some of the things I did as state representative. But just because I became auditor of state, that didn't dampen my passion for people with disabilities. And as auditor of state, I really worked behind the scenes to secure funding to restore waiver services during the 2013 General Sure. Assembly. And I also worked continuously to educate state personnel on the value and benefit of hiring Hoosiers with disabilities. In fact, even met with the governor's office regarding those opportunities that could be provided for those individuals in state government.
Sure.
And I also supported Project SEARCH and was their commencement speaker for their 2015 graduation ceremony. And then I did hire a 2015 Project SEARCH graduate in the auditor's office who has become an extremely valuable employee and has just reaffirmed my commitment to providing those opportunities for Hoosiers. And as Lieutenant Governor, it'll be my intent to collaborate and coordinate, not just with state agencies, but with providers, with stakeholders, with families, with people with disabilities, so we can continue to take those people to the next level. Mm-hmm. We like to say that Indiana is a state that works. Indiana needs to be a state that works for all people. And so that, as I shared with you, when I was raised to believe in equality and opportunity for people. And that is what we need to provide. And taking Indiana and taking Hoosiers to that next level is how we're going to meet that need.
And let's talk about the unemployment rate, because you were talking about hiring people with disabilities. And this statistic is so high. It's 80%. So people with disabilities want and can work. So what do you do to create opportunities for people with disabilities so that they can support
Well, first
themselves?
Of all, it's almost like a two-pronged process. Mm-hmm. One, you have to provide opportunities. The other thing you have to do is you have to educate businesses mm-hmm. on the value of hiring individuals with disabilities. And so my experience in the Auditor of State's office by hiring an individual with disabilities makes it very easy and very natural for me to tout the value of that, because people with disabilities not only are just exemplary employees, but they raise up the workforce. I mean, they put value into the workplace, and the ability to lift up all employees is what to me is the greatest advantage in hiring individuals with disabilities. So being able to educate and convey that to businesses would mm-hmm. be one approach that I would use from my personal experience. Mm-hmm. The other is to, one, educate state government. I told you that I had met with the governor's office to kind of impress upon them the importance and the opportunities that were there for agencies to hire people with disabilities. So to continue with that work and to educate our state agency head and elected office holders on the advantages to hiring people with disabilities and to be able to partner with business and to partner with government to provide those opportunities, to me, becomes extremely important. And we need to have that collaboration across all state agencies. And currently, the state of Indiana is working to implement the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act. And one of the things that does is it takes students with disabilities and it allows them to receive pre-employment transition services through career counseling, work-based learning experiences to obtain and retain competitive integrated employment. So it's important that we don't work in silos and in a vacuum. It's important that we collaborate and we work together and we utilize all of our resources to maximize those opportunities for people with disabilities.
Well, and let's talk about the need for transportation so that they can get to where they need to be. But how would you plan to address that mass transit need
for people with disabilities? Once again, we have to recognize and educate the public that transportation is a barrier to people with disabilities, and it's a barrier in terms of being able to provide those work opportunities to them, but also it's a barrier in terms of them being able to get where they need to go when they need to go there. So there's not one particular solution. And many communities, even my own community in Evansville, recognizes that transportation is key in terms of providing for opportunities for people. Mm-hmm. But we need to be sure that we work, that the state and local government works together to provide those solutions, and that the state is able to partner with local communities to provide those kinds of solutions, and that people with disabilities are included in city county transportation plans so that they are recognized as having a need, and then the cities and the counties will work together along with the state to provide that need. So not one easy solution, mm-hmm. but in terms of talking about employment opportunities, you can't talk about employment opportunities without talking about our ability to improve our transportation. And so,
sure.
And I will share this with you. Last year, as state auditor, I visited all 92 counties, mm-hmm. Visiting with local elected officials and community partners, because I know how important it is for us to partner, mm-hmm. and that when state and local government work together, we end up with a better solution, because government works best when we work together. So having that ability to collaborate and taking the experience that I've had and being able to partner with our local governments, to me, is a step in addressing that issue.
Sure. Now let's talk about the direct support professional shortage. DSPs do a lot for people with disabilities, but how do you see the crisis going across the state, and why is it to you?
There is a crisis in having people with the right training and the right skills, really across all industries. You hear it every single day, regardless of where you are, but nothing is more critical than in our service of providing the right care to people with disabilities, mm. because they are such a vulnerable population. So we need to ensure access to quality direct support staff is a primary goal and priority. And then we need to engage the Department of Workforce Development and Ivy Tech and other community partners to come up with solutions to train, prepare, and recruit individuals into these important roles. And I do know that Department of Workforce Development is working with DERS to be able to start addressing some of those issues. We need to work with individuals and families, FSSA providers, and FSSA and providers to explore the ways we provide support staff, and to determine if there are alternate models that result in positive outcomes for the individual served, but aren't as dependent on support staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to work with the appropriate state agencies to look at rate setting incentives and to incent providers to prioritize DSP wages to increase our retention rates. So it is important, and I will work to seek input and information from existing providers that have implemented innovative practices to retain direct support professionals.
And let's talk about, too often, the guardianship issue comes up too, where many people with disabilities aren't, you know, can be capable of making decisions on their own. But supported decision-making is an alternative to guardianship that allows people with disabilities to remain in charge of their own decisions, but allows them access to support should they want it. So what would you do as far as...
Well, it is critical that families and individuals with disabilities understand their options when it comes to guardianship and alternatives such as supported decision-making, which helps to provide appropriate options for individuals to maintain independence, but also receive necessary support in making informed choices. Individuals with disabilities, to the best of their ability and with support, should have input on their life decisions, including where they want to live, where they want to work, the services and supports they receive, and recreational activities. So as a state, it should be a priority, and we should allow individuals with disabilities to make these decisions without impeding their self-determination.
I love that answer. So the need for crisis intervention exists. Indiana doesn't currently have a crisis system in place for people with developmental disabilities or who have a mental health issue. So when people have a crisis situation, too often the emergency room or police are their only options. So what would your administration do to provide services for people in crisis situations who have coexisting conditions?
Yeah, I mean, it is, again, that is an issue that we need to take head on and address. When I was a state representative, I served on a commission in Evansville. It was created by the legislature. In fact, I'm the one that got the language in the bill to look at the Children's Psychiatric Hospital down there and to work with providers and with families and with state agencies to address this very issue of what choices do people have, you know, when you have a child that is in need of services immediately and you can't get them for any number of reasons. So it is a complex and compelling issue. I believe it is critical that individuals receive appropriate diagnostic and evaluation services. And individuals that have a dual diagnosis present a complex interaction in the multiple areas that lead to difficulties in allocating appropriate resources. But based on those appropriate assessments, then professionals and teams need to identify the critical needs of the individual in order to identify and provide appropriately tailored services. So it is important that we continue to work with the appropriate state agencies to identify the best practices for these individuals, acknowledging that integration of services may be necessary to appropriately provide treatment. But it should also emphasize proactive supports that help build capacity to better support individuals with coexisting conditions and minimize the need for crisis supports, including how to promote the availability of mental health support statewide. And oftentimes, when I was on this committee and would listen to families, they had no idea of where to start or where to go. And it seems to be the case in a lot of instances all across our society. People don't know where the resources are and they don't know how to utilize them. And so we need to do a better job at doing just that. But I also got to give you one shout out that I forgot to do.
Okay, do.
I have to give a shout out to Erxing Green Training Institute and Hotel Project, which does such a good job of working with people with disabilities and providing the training for meaningful employment. And
we love that institute.
Well, and we need to continue support it and continue to support those other kinds of private-public partnerships. And you know, and if we continue to do that and we move beyond doing what we've always done, then we're going to recognize and we're going to realize those opportunities that allow everyone to have equality.
So how about goals? Is there anything else you want to share with people about your goals as far as Lieutenant Governor goes?
What we are attempting to do, Eric Holcomb and I, is we are attempting to continue Indiana's forward momentum. You know, over the past 12 years, we have taken some very, very difficult decisions legislatively to put Indiana in a place where now we have balanced budgets, you know, we have healthy reserves, we have cut taxes, you know, we have low unemployment. Today it came out that our unemployment rate has dropped again. You know, we have AAA credit rating. We've created more jobs than we have in recent years. So we're at a level where we have the ability now to take Indiana to the next level and to look at providing opportunities for all, to lift up people and to lift up Hoosiers that have disabilities, to lift up Hoosiers that have mental health issues, to lift up Hoosiers that have addiction and drug issues, alcohol and drug addiction issues, to lift up all Hoosiers. That is where we are, and we're going to do it by continuing to focus on economic development and infrastructure. We're going to do it by creating excellence in education for children from preschool through childhood, through adulthood, and ensure that every child that graduates from high school, whether they have whatever their challenges are, have the ability to either go to college or to have meaningful employment. We need to develop our communities and make stronger communities out there. And then we need to continue to deliver good government at a great taxpayer value. If we continue to do that, and I hope that we do, and I hope that we have the ability to do that as the next Lieutenant Governor and Governor of the state of Indiana, then we're going to raise up all Hoosiers, and that makes us a better state.
Suzanne, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today and taking the time today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, of course, there you have it, Suzanne sharing her thoughts with our listeners as part of the ARC's efforts to educate voters about candidates for state office in the upcoming elections on November 8th. To learn more about voter registration and your right to vote, visit Indiana Disability Rights, www.in.gov/IDR, and the ARC of Indiana's website, www.arcind.org. And I thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.